All right, so it looks like we're going to be diving into mindfulness in nature. You've got quite the collection of techniques and expert opinions here. It'll be fun to jump in.
Yeah, it looks like exploring the how and the why, and how nature kind of fits into all this. This is going to be interesting.
Yeah, definitely. So how about we start with just, a simple question. How do these sources define mindfulness? It seems like everyone's saying it these days.
Yeah, you're right. It's become pretty popular. At its core, I think mindfulness is about being aware in the present moment, just noticing your thoughts and feelings and your body and the world around you without judgment.
So it's not about like emptying your mind. It's more about acknowledging what's already there.
Exactly. And I think what I find fascinating is how all of these sources point to nature as this incredible catalyst for mindfulness. It's almost like nature itself is encouraging us to be more present.
I can see that. I mean, when you think about it, when you're out in nature, all the usual distractions kind of fade away. Your phone, work, that pile of laundry.
Exactly. It's like hitting the pause button on all that mental chatter. The sounds of nature, the wind, the water, they all kind of pull you into the present moment.
Okay, so we've got a handle on mindfulness and how nature plays a part. But let's get to the practical stuff. What are some specific techniques that people can use to actually practice mindfulness when they're out in nature?
Well, you've got a whole toolkit of techniques here. One that I think is really interesting is the five senses check-in.
Ooh, that sounds cool.
It's super simple, but really powerful. You pause wherever you are in nature and you just tune into each of your five senses one by one.
So, like, I'd start by noticing five things that I can see, maybe the shape of a cloud, the veins on a leaf.
Exactly. Then you move on to four things you can feel: the texture of bark, maybe, the
Rah.
warmth of the sun on your skin. Then three things you can hear, two things you can smell. And then one thing you can taste.
It's almost like a game, and I can see how focusing on each sense would really make you more present.
It is a bit like a game, a very effective one. It really shifts your attention from your thoughts to the world around you. One of the experts described it as being pulled out of your thoughts and into your body.
I like that. I think a full sensory immersion. What other techniques can we explore?
Another good one, and maybe one you're already doing, is mindful walking.
We all walk, but how do you make it mindful?
It's about shifting your attention from where you're going to the actual act of walking itself. Slow down your pace, feel each step. Notice the sensations in your body as you move. Dr. Mark Coleman, who wrote Awaken the Wild, suggests syncing your steps with your breath, inhaling for a certain number of steps, exhaling for another.
So turning like a mundane activity into an opportunity to be more aware.
Exactly. And Dr. Coleman even talks about how mindful walking allows us to absorb the healing energy of nature with each step.
Wow, I never thought about it like that.
Yeah.
Okay, what else is in our mindfulness toolkit?
Sometimes focusing on everything can be distracting, so that's where the technique of focusing on a single element comes in.
So instead of trying to take in the whole forest, I might just focus on one tree.
Yes, or it could be a flower, a rock formation, even a patch of sunlight. Anything that catches your eye, and
Yeah.
then you really observe it. Notice the texture, the colors, the way the light plays on it. One source described it as watching sunlight paint brush strokes of gold across a single petal.
That's beautiful imagery. I could see how focusing on those small details would quiet the mind.
Absolutely. A mindfulness coach named Megan Cowan, who co-founded Mindful Schools, she calls this a mini mindfulness practice. It's really helpful for those of us whose minds tend to wander because it gently guides your attention back to the present moment.
Mini practice is very manageable. Speaking of managing the mind, what about grounding exercises? I've heard those are good for calming anxiety.
You're right. Grounding techniques are excellent for feeling more centered and secure, especially when anxiety comes up. One of your sources describes a powerful visualization technique where you imagine roots growing from your feet, extending deep into the earth, anchoring you to the ground.
Wow, I can already feel myself getting more grounded just picturing that.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt that when you're out in nature?
Oh, absolutely. It's like tapping into this wellspring of stability and strength. Jon Kabat-Zinn, a pioneer in mindfulness research, he highlights grounding techniques as a really effective way to deal with stress.
It's amazing how something as simple as visualization can have such a profound effect. So we've got the five senses check-in, mindful walking, focusing on a single element, and grounding exercises. Anything else?
One more technique we should talk about: journaling in nature.
Oh, I love that idea. Combining nature and writing. What's the best way to approach that?
Just find a peaceful spot in nature, under a tree, by a stream, wherever feels good, and then just write whatever comes to mind. Could be your observations of the natural world, your thoughts, feelings, memories, anything that flows naturally.
It's like having a dialogue with nature and with yourself.
Beautifully said. And Dr. Craig Chalquist, an ecotherapist who writes about mindfulness, he says that journaling in nature allows us to hear what the natural world has to say to us. He believes it can lead to some really profound self-discovery.
So we've got five great techniques to choose from. But before we dive into trying them out, I'm curious about the why. Why does mindfulness in nature work so well? What's the science behind it?
That's a great question. And luckily, the research you've gathered sheds some light on that. There's a growing body of evidence pointing to some pretty incredible benefits.
Okay, so what kind of benefits are we talking about? What does the science actually say?
One of the most significant findings is that spending time in nature can lower your cortisol level.
Cortisol, that's the stress hormone, right?
Exactly. And a study published in Frontiers in Psychology found that spending just 20 minutes in nature can lead to a significant decrease in cortisol.
Wow, 20 minutes. That's less time than it takes to watch an episode of my favorite show.
Right. It makes you want to go for a walk in the park, doesn't it? And it's not just about reducing stress. Psychologists at Stanford University found that people who walked in nature experienced a decrease in what's called rumination.
Rumination. That's that, like, endless loop of negative thinking. The kind that keeps you up at night?
Yeah, that's the one. Nature has this amazing ability to shift our focus away from those worries and into the present moment.
Less stress, fewer negative thoughts.
I'm liking where this is going. What else did these researchers find?
One thing that I found interesting was the concept of forest bathing, which comes from the Japanese term Shinrin Yoku. And it's not actually bathing in a forest. It's more like immersing yourself in the sights and sounds and smells of the forest.
I've heard of that. Is there any science behind it, or is it more of a spiritual thing?
It's actually both. The practice has roots in traditional Japanese culture, but researchers like Dr. Yoshifumi Miyazaki have been studying the effects of forest bathing. And what they've found is fascinating. For example, trees release compounds called phytoncides, which have been shown to boost our immune systems. So breathing in the forest air is good for us on like a cellular level.
That's what the research is saying. And it's not just about the physical benefits. Dr. Miyazaki says that nature has a unique ability to bring us into balance. He says, nature doesn't judge or rush us. It allows us to be.
That's beautiful. I think that's something a lot of us crave, the space to just be ourselves without pressure or judgment.
Exactly. And this sense of being allowed to simply be is what creates the perfect environment for mindfulness to flourish.
It's all connecting now.
Uh-huh.
We have these techniques that can help us become more mindful. And then we have nature, which naturally encourages that state of presence.
Yeah,
it's like a perfect partnership.
I couldn't agree more. It's not just about the techniques and the research, though. It's also about tapping into the wisdom of experts who have dedicated their life to understanding this connection between mindfulness and nature.
Yes. You brought some great sources that highlight some leading experts. Maybe we should take a moment to revisit their unique perspectives. See what resonates.
Sounds good.
Okay, first we have Dr. Mark Coleman, who we already mentioned. His main takeaway is that nature is like a classroom for mindfulness. He encourages us to find those small moments of peace in nature, like watching a spider spin a web or listening to birdsong, and let those moments build upon each other.
He calls those moments micro-meditations. He believes that paying attention to these small details can train our minds to find stillness in even the most ordinary experiences.
I love that. It's about finding the extraordinary within the ordinary. What about Dr. Craig Chalquist? What was his perspective?
Dr. Chalquist sees nature as an active participant in our mindfulness practice. He believes that nature offers us metaphors and wisdom for navigating our own lives.
He gave the example of a tree's resilience in weathering storms as a symbol of our own inner strength. It was really powerful. What about Megan Callen? What were her insights?
Megan, as a mindfulness coach, she really focuses on accessibility. She emphasizes that you don't need to go on a mountaintop retreat to experience the benefits of mindfulness in nature. Even a few minutes in your backyard or a local park can make a difference.
That's good to hear. It makes it seem much more attainable. And finally, we have Dr. Yoshifumi Miyazaki, the forest bathing expert.
Dr. Miyazaki's work emphasizes engaging all your senses in nature. He wants people to slow down and take in the sights, the sounds, the smells, the feel of the air. He believes that this practice allows us to connect more deeply with nature and experience its restorative effects.
I love how he put it. Nature allows us to simply be. It feels like permission to let go of all the doing and just exist in the present moment.
It really is. And I think that's what's so beautiful about all these different perspectives. They each offer a unique lens through which to view mindfulness in nature.
It's like a buffet of wisdom. We can take what resonates and leave the rest. But all of this knowledge is great. The question is, how do we make this a reality in our busy lives?
You're right. It's one thing to understand the concepts, but putting them into practice is where the magic happens.
Exactly. So how do we make mindfulness in nature a practical part of our daily lives?
I think that's what a lot of people struggle with. We love the idea, but actually finding the time is a whole other challenge.
Yeah, squeezing a daily forest bath into my schedule was starting to stress me out. But I like what you said about even small moments making a difference.
Absolutely. Even 5 or 10 minutes can be so beneficial. Could you step outside during your lunch break and find a quiet spot under a tree? Or take a few conscious breaths while looking at a plant on your balcony?
Okay, that feels much more doable. It's not about adding another item to my to-do list. It's about finding these little pockets of awareness throughout the day.
Exactly. And something else that your sources emphasize is that nature is everywhere, even in urban environments. You don't need to live in a national park to practice mindfulness in nature.
So even if I'm surrounded by concrete, there are still opportunities to connect with nature.
Absolutely. A city park, a tree-lined street, even that patch of weeds in the sidewalk, those can all become your mindfulness sanctuaries.
I'm starting to see my surroundings in a whole new light. It's amazing how we overlook the nature that's right in front of us.
It's easy to get caught up in the hustle and bustle. But once you start tuning in, you'll be amazed by how much nature is actually in our everyday lives. And who knows, maybe this deep dive will inspire you to seek out even more nature in your life.
I think you're right. This has definitely sparked a new appreciation for me. It's like we've uncovered this hidden world of peace and connection that was here all along.
That's the beauty of mindfulness in nature. It's not about adding something new to your life. It's about tapping into something that's already there.
So to recap, it seems like the main takeaways are mindfulness is about cultivating present moment, awareness. Nature naturally makes that easier, and there are practical techniques we can use to cultivate it no matter where we live or how busy our lives are.
Well said. Which of these techniques are you most curious to try? What really stood out to you?
Honestly, I'm excited to try them all. But if I had to pick one, I think I'd start with mindful walking. The idea of syncing my steps with my breath and feeling that connection to the earth feels grounding and invigorating at the same time.
That's a great choice. And remember, nature is always there to support your journey. We've only just scratched the surface here. Who knows what you might discover?
That's exciting to think about. This deep dive has definitely given me a new perspective on mindfulness in nature and a renewed sense of wonder for the world around me. Thanks for being such a great guide.
The real journey begins now. Enjoy exploring these practices and finding what works best for you.
Yeah, that's a great question. And luckily, all this research that you've gathered, it sheds some light on that. It seems like there's a lot of evidence pointing to some really cool benefits.
Okay, so like what kind of benefits? What does the science say?
One of the biggest things they found is that spending time in nature can actually lower your cortisol levels.
Cortisol? Isn't that the stress hormone?
Exactly. Mm. And there was a study published in Frontiers in Psychology that found that just 20 minutes in nature can significantly lower cortisol levels.
20 minutes. That's like less time than it takes to watch my favorite show. I know, right? Makes you want to take that walk in the park. And it's not all about just stress reduction. Some psychologists at Stanford found that people who walked in nature, they had a decrease in something called rumination.
Rumination. That's like that negative thinking loop, right? That keeps you up at night.
Exactly. That's the one. Nature has this amazing ability to kind of pull us out of those thought patterns and bring us into the present moment.
So less stress, less negative thinking. That's good. What else did the researchers find?
Well, there's this really interesting concept called forest bathing. It's a Japanese term, shinrin-yoku. It's not about actually bathing in a forest. It's more like immersing yourself in the sights and sounds and the smells of a forest.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Is there actual science behind it, or is it more of like a spiritual practice?
It's both, actually. So the practice has roots in traditional Japanese culture, but researchers like this guy, Dr. Yoshifumi Miyazaki, have been studying the effects of forest bathing. And what they're finding is really cool. Like, for instance, trees release compounds called phytoncides, and these have been shown to boost our immune systems.
So just breathing in the forest air is actually good for us, like on a cellular level.
That's what the research is saying. And it goes beyond just the physical benefits, too. Dr. Miyazaki, he says that nature has this unique ability to bring us back into balance. He has this great quote. He says, "Nature doesn't judge or rush us. It allows us to be."
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I think that's what a lot of us are looking for, you know, just that space to be ourselves without judgment.
Absolutely. And that sense of just being able to be, that's what creates the perfect environment for mindfulness.
This is all starting to come together.
Yeah.
We have these techniques that can make us more mindful. And we have nature, which just by being itself encourages that mindfulness. It's like the perfect pair.
I couldn't agree more. But it's not just about techniques and research. It's also about learning from experts who have spent their lives understanding this connection between mindfulness and nature.
Right. You provided some awesome sources highlighting some of the top experts in this field. Maybe we should take a minute and revisit their perspectives, see if anything stands out.
That sounds good.
All right. So first we have Dr. Mark Coleman, who we mentioned earlier. He believes that nature is basically a classroom for mindfulness. He encourages us to find those little moments of peace in nature, like watching a spider build its web or listening to the birds sing. And he said to let those moments add up.
He actually calls them micro meditations. He believes that if we pay attention to these small details, it can train our minds to find stillness in the everyday.
It's like finding the magic in the mundane. What about Dr. Craig Chalquist? What was his take?
Dr. Chalquist sees nature as a partner in our mindfulness practice. He believes that nature gives us these metaphors and this wisdom that we can apply to our own lives.
Like he gave that example about how trees are resilient. You know, they weather all these storms. And he used that as a metaphor for our own inner strength. That was a good one. What about Megan Cowan? What did she have to say?
Well, Megan is a mindfulness coach, and she's really all about accessibility. She says that you don't have to go to some mountaintop retreat to get the benefits of mindfulness in nature. Even just a few minutes in your backyard or at a local park can make a difference.
That's reassuring to hear. It makes it seem much more achievable. And finally, we have Dr. Yoshifumi Miyazaki, the forest bathing expert.
Right. So his work really highlights the importance of using all your senses when you're out in nature. He wants people to slow down and really take it all in, the sights, the sounds, the smells, even just how the air feels on your skin. He thinks that this is how we can really connect with nature and experience its power.
I love the way he said it. Nature allows us to simply be. It's like we have permission to stop all the doing.
Yeah.
And just exist in the present moment.
It really is. And I think that's the beauty of all these perspectives. They each offer a unique way of looking at mindfulness in nature.
It's like a buffet of wisdom, right? We can take what we like and leave the rest.
Yeah.
But now the question is, all this knowledge is great, but how do we actually use it in our everyday lives?
Yeah. It's one thing to understand these concepts, but putting them into practice is where the real magic happens.
Exactly. How do we make mindfulness in nature a practical part of our daily routine?
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way. You know, we like the idea, but actually finding the time to do it, that's the hard part.
I hear you. Trying to fit a forest bath into my day was already stressing me out.
Yeah.
But I do like what you said about little moments making a difference.
Oh, absolutely. Even just 5 minutes, 10 minutes can be so beneficial. What if you stepped outside during your lunch break, found a nice spot under a tree, or took a few deep breaths while looking at a plant on your balcony?
Yeah, that sounds much more manageable. It's not about adding another thing to my to-do list. It's more like finding these little moments of peace throughout the day.
Exactly. And another thing that I notice in these sources is that they really emphasize that nature is everywhere, even in cities. You don't have to live in a national park to find it.
So you're saying that even when I'm surrounded by concrete, there are still ways to connect with nature?
Oh, absolutely. Think about it. A city park, a street with trees, even those little weeds poking up through the cracks in the sidewalk, those can all be your little nature escapes.
Wow. I'm looking at my surroundings totally differently now. It's funny how we don't always see the nature that's right there in front of us.
It's easy to get caught up in everything else.
Right.
But if you start paying attention, you'll be surprised at how much nature is actually around you. Who knows? Maybe this deep dive will even inspire you to bring even more nature into your life.
You might be right. This has definitely given me a new appreciation for it. It's like we've uncovered this whole secret world of peace and connection that was here all along.
That's what I love about mindfulness in nature. It's not about adding something new. It's more like rediscovering something that's always been there.
So if we were to sum it all up, it sounds like the key takeaways are this. Mindfulness is about being present in the moment. Nature helps us do that. And there are these practical techniques we can use to get better at it, no matter where we live or how busy we are.
That's a great summary. So tell me, which of these techniques are you most excited to try? Which ones really stood out to you?
You know what? I'm actually excited to try all of them. But if I had to pick one, I think I'd start with mindful walking, syncing my steps with my breath and feeling that connection to the earth. It sounds both grounding and energizing.
That's awesome. And don't forget, nature is always there to help you along the way. We've only just started exploring here. There's a whole world out there waiting to be discovered.
It's pretty exciting to think about. This deep dive has definitely opened my eyes to the power of mindfulness in nature, and it's given me this renewed sense of wonder for the world around me. Thanks for being such an awesome guide.
The real journey starts now. Happy exploring, and I hope you find what works for you.